I couldn't stop thinking about two movies as I thought about the readings for this Sunday. The first is Aladdin. And some of you might not like me dating myself in this way, but Aladdin, the movie, came out when I was 8 in 1992. Now, some of the college students don't have any clue about 1992, and they think I'm probably pretty old for that. But 1992, Aladdin came out, right? And it was the fascination of all young kids because of the notion of a flying carpet, right? We loved this idea. So we all tried to make it happen, and of course, gravity didn't help with that. But the other image, the main plot of Aladdin, of course, is the genie giving Aladdin 3 wishes. And sort of the movie's built around that image. And I kept thinking about that because of our first reading. In our first reading, God gives Solomon not 3, unfortunately, like the genie, but he gives him 1 wish. And he's incredibly impressed by what Solomon chooses with that 1 wish. I'm not sure about you, but I'm not sure I would have given the same answer as Solomon. Solomon says, I want a new heart. I want wisdom. I want understanding. I want a transformed heart. And God's impressed, and so he gives it to him. I think all of us in our life, certainly as children, start with a kind of genie image of God. Or I like to say the divine Santa Claus, right? Or the divine genie image, which is that God only exists to give me what I want. Right? Now, that's not always true with kids. I'm sure you have had the experience of praying with children, and it is like sometimes the most beautiful thing in the world, the things they will say when they're saying their nighttime prayers, the people they will pray for, the countries they will pray for, the causes they will pray for, sort of blows your mind. But I think generally speaking, when we're young, the only image we have for God is kind of a Santa Claus image, a genie image. I think the whole Aladdin thing as an 8-year-old boy certainly creeped into my head about how I thought about God. God is like the genie. If I rub the lamp, right, if I say certain prayers, I'll get certain gifts. And then hopefully, at some point in our life, we mature a little bit from that image. Because Solomon didn't have that image. Solomon's image, if God gave him one thing, was to pray that my heart becomes more like yours, God. It wasn't for a particular thing, and that's what God's impressed with. You didn't pray for long life. You didn't even pray for your own health or the health of those you love. You didn't pray for money or material possessions. You prayed for a transformed heart. Now that's mature faith. That's the kind of faith that doesn't look at our relationship with God being just about what I can get from it, but about being with someone who is worthy of our love, even if we get nothing. And so we start to think of God more as a lover, right, than as a Santa Claus figure. More of a lover and a friend than as a genie. Because with a lover and a friend, we just want to be with them. If we're in the relationship just because we can get something, it's not true love. And it's not true friendship. We're content simply to be with them. And Solomon says the same. God, I just want your heart. I want to be transformed by your heart. I remember reading this line from St. Augustine a number of years ago. It blew my mind. It blew sort of how I understood prayer. And Augustine said a long time ago, he said, prayer is not meant to change God's mind. Prayer is meant to change our heart. Prayer is not meant to change God's mind. God already knows what you need. Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount. Stop babbling on in your prayers. God knows what you need, right? So why pray? Because it changes our hearts. When we immerse ourselves in God and dwell with Him and sit with Him, our heart starts to absorb His heart. I like to compare it to sitting out and like tanning on a sunny day, right? And you think, oh no, I don't need to put sunscreen on, right? The sun's not going to hit me too bad. And then you wake up the next day and you're red all over, right? I've done this before. right? And then the shower hurts and all these things. You just absorbed the rays. You weren't consciously doing it. You weren't trying to get a tan necessarily. You just absorbed the sun's rays. And that's what prayer is. It's sitting right in the light of God so that we absorb His view on the world, His perspective on the world, so that we start to see things as He sees them, so that our heart is transformed like His. And so prayer then becomes not about what I can get from God. Now, petition has a place in prayer, right? But at the end of the day, we always have to say with Jesus in the garden, but I don't know the best thing maybe. So Your will be done, not mine. Because I'm not sure I know the whole picture. You do. So prayer becomes much more about sitting with a lover or a friend than about what we can get from that relationship. That's what Solomon understood. That if I have one wish, I just want to have God's heart. That's it. Solomon understood what the hidden treasure was, which brings me to my second movie, Shawshank Redemption. I'm not sure how many young people even know Shawshank Redemption, but it's a great movie. And I spent the last 4 years in Mansfield at St. Peter's. And of course, you probably know Shawshank was filmed in Mansfield. So that's our only claim to fame. But you can tour the prison. You can see where all the sites were filmed. And if you remember in the movie, which is routinely ranked in the top 5 movies of all time, so if you haven't seen it, you should see it. But in the movie, Red tells Andy where to find a treasure when he gets out of prison, when he escapes, where to find this treasure in a field, under a rock, by this huge oak tree. But you can go to that spot, right, where Andy pulls up this treasure below this rock. And of course, he uses it to buy a ticket, a bus ticket to Mexico, to a life of freedom. That hidden treasure, of course, in our gospel is Jesus. It is worth trading everything for it. It's worth just being with Him. We don't have to get anything out of it, right? Just to be with Him. And so I'm just reflecting this week on that image of prayer, not about changing God's mind, but about changing our hearts. And maybe that will be the question that God posed to Solomon today in our first reading. Maybe that will be the only thing God says to us when we meet Him face to face at the judgment, at the pearly gates. He may just say what He said to Solomon. He might say to me, Jeremy, if I could give you one thing, what would it be? And I imagine that if I say anything else besides Him, He's going to say, well, you need some purifying. And I pray, and I think all of our prayers today is that when God asks us that question, if you could have one thing, what would it be? We respond, only You, Lord. Only You.